gas station, they've got the same setup for any type of car that comes in, right, that takes that for fuel. You know, could you imagine if you had a specific gas station for only a specific kind of car? That would make it very difficult in trying to support that infrastructure. So, you know, we've got to do the same thing for, I think, in my mind, interoperability, where System A and System B can connect, and you, as long as all the setups are good, then, you know, the infrastructure set, then it shouldn't be too much of a hassle to really hook up these systems as these groups come in and go.
From InterSystems is the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Adnan Hamid, the VP and Divisional Chief Information Officer for the Southern California Division of Common Spirit Health. Adnan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For our listeners, Common Spirit Health is a health system based in Chicago, Illinois, with 163 hospitals, 30,000 providers, and 20,000 beds. Adnan represents the Southern California Division of Common Spirit Health, which includes 18 hospitals, dozens of ambulatory clinics, and 25,000 employees that provides care to over 1 million people in Southern California. So Adnan, I'd like to kick off our conversation today and ask, and I'm not sure if this falls in your bailiwick or not, but I know that Common Spirit recently acquired 5 new hospitals in Utah from Steward Health. I know that obviously Utah is not in Southern California, but perhaps you may be able to speak to general trends in the market that may be affecting you with expansion and of new sites, or if that applies at all. I know you said you have many ambulatory clinics. Have you been seeing any kind of expansion, and how does that affect your team?
Right. Yep. That's obviously sort of the latest news for Common Spirit Health. And we're really excited in having sort of that part of the country, you know, under us and able to serve those communities. As we look at sort of the overall healthcare landscape, you know, as while not directly impacting Southern California, you know, from an IT perspective, we do our best to try to connect a lot of, you know, sort of disparate systems, and that in itself is a challenge. So, you know, what we want to do is do this without, you know, disrupting operations, of course. And so that's really the challenge. How do we, you know, take a lot of these sort of fragmented systems throughout and kind of put them together? You know, we recently have now new leadership at the top with our new CIO that joined summer of last year, and Daniel Barchi, our new executive vice president CIO, who joined last fall. And, you know, the goal is to be one Common Spirit. And with that, that means, again, leveraging the technologies that we have collectively and doing the best we can to, again, not only serving our communities, but what we like to say, restoring the joy of medicine back to our providers, right? So I think those are the things that we are aiming to do moving forward.
So Adnan, I've heard about an operational transformation initiative and a 3-year roadmap. Is that something that you may be able to speak to?
At a very high level, I know our executive vice president, Daniel Barchi, you know, he's setting the vision, not just 3 years, but 10 years. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of this is, you know, where we find opportunities to, again, be on one platform and standardized throughout the enterprise, which of course, as you sort of rattled off the statistics of Common Spirit Health, is not very simple.
Right.
It's going to take time to do that. We can't just, you know, do that in sort of an overnight operations. We really got to be methodical and strategic about how we look at a lot of our systems and figure out those inflection points to get to one sort of Common Spirit, and that we're all kind of utilizing the right platforms and leveraging what we've got to take care of our patients. So that really is the trick right now, is how do we do that? We know, I imagine, you know, a lot of our stakeholders have asked for that. It's just now how do we do it and do it in a responsible manner.
How are you integrating data from disparate systems? I know that within the Common Spirit family, you're leveraging Epic, Cerner, and Meditech EHRs. Obviously, there's new entities being brought on board, as I just mentioned earlier, with their own data sources. What is your data integration strategy and how are you pursuing it?
Great question. Again, a lot of that is sort of being evolved from learning from the systems that we have, leveraging cloud. Of course, partners like Google and Microsoft and Amazon, looking at how we can leverage the cloud to help us with analyzing the data, collecting the data, and then obviously, really more importantly, making sure we operationalize the data so that our providers and operators can use that to take care of our community. So it's still, again, an evolving strategy, but I think we've got the right people at the table to help us do it.
What are some of the top priority projects on your plate that you're using to operationalize your data strategy?
Well, I can just speak to what's happening in Southern California. Again, a couple of major initiatives here is just standardization of PACS, right? So our PACS solutions, making sure we're all on the same sort of imaging systems throughout the division. That will definitely help with making sure that we can support these systems moving forward, that they don't become end of life very soon. And at the end of the day, we're providing the tools for our providers to take care of patients. And then also phones, standardizing on phone systems. Again, these are sort of what we call bedrock technologies that are key to operations in our acute care settings. And so I think we just need to make sure that we have a good foundation so that we can build off it. For example, the phones, right? So getting on a modern phone system allows us to then leverage mobile phone devices throughout, and that we are doing the best to provide our clinicians the latest and greatest tools, but at the same time back to restoring the joy of medicine, getting our providers back in front of the patients and having those crucial conversations about their care versus behind a screen.
Got it. So it sounds like you're upgrading from landline to mobile phones and issuing mobile phones to physicians?
No, it's just a matter of making sure that we're going from an analog base to VoIP. I mean, again, it's not, the earth shattering or state of the art. It's just making sure that we've got a technology base that can support mobile infrastructure moving forward.
Got it. Are there any data harmonization projects that you're working on?
Specific to Southern California, no, but again, things that we do work on are population health, right? Making sure that we are, utilizing the data that we capture and providing that information back to our providers. Want to make sure that the lives that we are responsible for, we're able to provide those services in an in-network fashion versus having some of these, community members go out of network, which can be costly. So it's just about making sure that we're keeping our patients, within our network and able to serve them the best that we can.
Our listeners, as you may know, are your peers, CIOs of large health systems across the United States. And I think it really helps when we bring particular use cases to life. Would you be willing to speak to an instance or a problem that you've solved within the context of that population health use case?
It's still early. I'm not sure I could probably bring one to surface right now. But again, in my time here so far with Common Spirit Health, a lot of it is my focus has been, of course, supporting the national initiatives such as PACS and Unified Communications. What I'm also doing is installing governance to our division, where one of the challenges as I walked in is the number of requests outweighed the amount of both funding and resources that we're able to work on those requests. So trying to find a good balance so that the requests that we do work on are meaningful to the hospitals, but at the same time, we're able to deliver that work to them in a timely manner so that we can continue to do more work. But right now we're just dealing with as many organizations where especially in the IT world, the number of requests outweigh the number of resources. So that becomes really a source of frustration when we just can't keep up with it.
So how are you handling that prioritization of help desk requests, and how are you structuring the governance in order to accommodate those priorities?
Well, we take a look, what, again, back to when I started, every request has a high or a critical priority, and that really doesn't help in the sense of, if everything is a high or a critical, then nothing's really high or critical. So what I've done is, working with my team, what we've installed is, sort of guiding principles, or sort of a prioritization scoring methodology, where we take, up to 10 business factors. Will this request, improve patient care, patient safety? Will it reduce costs, increase revenue? And we really asked our business, leaders to help score these requests on how, how close does it align with the sort of the strategic goals of the organization, so that we can then prioritize that at we can start using it as a data point in trying to, prioritize these requests versus others that the site might have.
Have you ever done a retroactive postmortem, say, on priorities that were tackled by the organization in 2020 or, some prior year, right? So we said that, in 2018, we said that these 100 things were our wish list. And of those 100, we accomplished these 25. And these 25, we actually think that 20 of them actually achieved the ROI we originally wanted. Has there ever been any sort of retroactive analysis to see how accurate your scoring factors are?
Well, again, it's early in implementation, but that seems, is the goal, right? To get to a point where we can have that moment of reflection to reinforce that the methodology works, and mm-hmm. then B, if there are opportunities to tweak it, then we get that sort of continuous feedback on, how did we do in with the methodology, and if there are ways to make it better, then we use that information to do so. So yeah, I think we're not there yet, but that is, again, part of the whole goal is to make sure that this is a value added process.
So on the topic of priorities, I'd like to pivot back to the topic of integrating data and disparate systems, and we spoke about leveraging the cloud. You mentioned AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud Platform. You also mentioned that, I mentioned in the very beginning that there are 163 hospitals, of which only 18 are in the SoCal division, right? So there's a whole lot of integration that needs to be done across the entire health system at Common Spirit. Can you speak about what the data strategy is with migrating the cloud? What are some considerations that need to be accounted for? Are you trying to move to a single instance? Are you trying to reconcile different EHRs? What's your cloud migration strategy, and what are kind of your metrics of success once you go through the migration process?
Well, I'm early in our sort of migration strategy, so I won't be able to speak too much of that. Where I can speak of is, the things that I've dealt with in my time here when it comes to just, setting up information feeds between our hospitals and our physician medical groups and third-party vendors and partners that need some of our data to support our communities. Obviously, sometimes the unique challenges are with interoperability. Let me back up. When business contracts are formed between between organizations, healthcare organizations like ours and third parties. A lot of it obviously is focused on sort of the business and the reason to get into that partnership. Sometimes the costs that may not be fully understood are the integration costs, of hooking system A to system B. And sometimes is sort of, unfortunately, expectations may not be set properly. So someone may think that they may be getting data within 90 days of a contract being signed, but after doing some research on what is needed, it could be a little longer. And so that can lead to some frustration on our ability to deliver that exchange of information. So, what we're really dealing with is, as we look at some of these contracts or some of these requests that are just sitting there where we can't, or we're in a sense, delayed in our ability to exchange the information, that does impact operations, especially partnerships. And so sure. Just taking a look at that and standardizing on that is a big deal right now.
Adnan, what would you say accounts for some of those delays in data exchange?
Just the scope of what is needed. For example, one example is when we switch out radiology groups, and we are all dealing with shortages and sort of clinical coverage when it comes to imaging. In the past, which has been as we've seen it, right? So even if you change radiology groups, the expectation is these radiology groups, for example, would read from your own PACS systems. But what I'm seeing as a bit of a trend is that these groups have their own sort of radiology information system groups, systems that you have to hook into. And that requires, interface feeds and, between, patient demographics, orders, and reports. And so that takes time. If we've got to build these kind of interfaces for each radiology group that comes in and goes, that in itself takes a lot of effort and planning. And so we've got to figure out a way to make it so that, I kind of use sort of the gas station analogy, right? So, you have a gas station, they've got the same setup for any type of car that comes in, right? That takes that sort of fuel. Could you imagine if you had, a specific gas station for only a specific kind of car? That would make it very difficult in trying to support that infrastructure. So, we've got to do the same thing for, I think, in my mind, interoperability, where system A and system B can connect. And you, as long as all the setups are good, then, in an infrastructure set, then it shouldn't be too much of a hassle to really hook up these systems as these groups come in and go. So hopefully that makes it a little bit clear of the challenge that we have right now, because it's not that way right now.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, with all these groups coming and going, do you have a electronic master person index, or like a provider directory and a patient index strategy?
Yeah, that would be key, right? So that, again, with a lot of different systems, we need to have an EMPI that makes sense. But again, whether we have a specific strategy, I'm not able to comment on that at this point.
Hmm. Okay. So we are approaching the end of this podcast episode, Adnan. We've covered a lot of ground. We've spoken about integrating data in disparate systems, a little bit about cloud strategy and challenges of interoperability. We've spoken about the need for standardization of imaging systems, phone system standardization, and we alluded to a population health strategy and some governance in terms of just prioritizing the deluge of requests that come into your office. I'd like to provide you with an opportunity to offer any insights or suggestions to our listeners who may be encountering similar problems in their own organizations today.
Yeah, great question. I think it can be very overwhelming with the other challenges that are ahead of us. I, for one, kind of think of it sort of inspiring in the sense of there's a lot of good work ahead of us. It does take the right people to help work on these problems. These are very complex problems. Of course, if they were simple, they've already been solved. So, very fortunate to work with a great group of people that understand what we're trying to do. It's really about working with some great people and solving problems together. It does take, in my mind, a village to do these things. And I'm just very fortunate to be with an IT organization that understands that, and we're doing our best to solve those really complex questions and be part of a very, very a very value-based organization that truly, truly is doing its best to take care of the communities that we serve. So
this has been Adnan Hamid, the Vice President and Divisional Chief Information Officer for the Southern California Division of Common Spirit Health. Adnan, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate the opportunity.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.